B-Pod Studios.
Now, sports talk while you're on the clock. This is Zolak and Bertrand.
I'm going to slap you because you fake it.
On 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Time hour here on Zolak and Bertrand. We're in Foxborough today.
Wow.
What?
Nice. Story here.
Oh, the story I was looking at? If you must know. But now I got to tell people what we're looking at. Story in the Globe about touring Chernobyl. Would you go for a tour of Chernobyl?
No.
I wouldn't.
I don't think I would.
You know what I saw? I watched that movie Chernobyl Diaries. Where the people were eating the people and they turned to zombies and the bears.
Because of the zombies.
And a takeover, and it was pretty realistic.
Yeah, I don't think I'd
You watch that movie, you won't go to Chernobyl.
I don't think I'm
all set with Chernobyl. It's a nuclear reactor here in Chernobyl.
Okay. I got a story idea for the Globe outside of going for a tour of Chernobyl. Although I will read this story. Looks like a good one.
What if they just said, hey, put a mask on? Yeah. Be all right.
All set. I would send someone to the Dominican. Again, they sent a team there a couple months ago. I'd send them back. You might have something to follow up on. They ran an AP story today in the Globe, but I don't think the AP story tells the whole story about what's going on there right now. Let me read from the Houston Chronicle instead. Matt Young. Let me just read the story. Former Astros closer Octavio Dotel was arrested as part of a drug trafficking investigation on Tuesday, according to the country's attorney general. Period. Paragraph. Paragraph number two. Jean-Alain Rodriguez, the Dominican Republic's attorney general, said Dotel and former big leaguer Luis Castillo are linked to a money laundering network that involves Cesar Emilio Peralta, who also was accused of putting a hit on former Red Sox slugger David Ortiz. Peralta has denied any involvement in Ortiz being shot in June. Period. Paragraph. He ties it all together in three sentences. The AP has failed to do that. Locally, there's been no story tying this all together. But two former major leaguers, Octavio Dotel, who made more than $40 million in his career, and Castillo, who made more than $56 million in his career, are tied to the drug kingpin, as he has been called, drug lord, as he has been called, yep. However you want to describe him. They have been tied to doing business with him. They are both famous major leaguers from the Dominican, who had 15 years apiece in the major leagues, long, lengthy major league careers, much like David Ortiz. And the guy that they're doing business with had a hit out on David Ortiz. That is an odd coincidence that two very wealthy major league players, former major leaguers, are also tied to the guy who has been known as El Abusador, or Cesar the Abuser.
The abusive one.
It's just a weird coincidence that all these guys are sort of tied in to the abuser. And that their money was somehow involved with his money, and they were involved in a money laundering scheme with this individual.
So at what point do you say, okay, we know the official story from the Dominican is that it's a case of mistaken identity of David Ortiz, and these initial reports have been downplayed and outright eliminated by the local authorities. We feel this is worthy of a little more investigation. I think this is it.
I think we're at that point.
I think if you hadn't felt that way before, you have to feel that way now. You have two other major leaguers
with tens of millions of dollars in earnings in Major League Baseball.
Not
guys that were just, you know, fringe players. Guys that had very long careers with high earnings that have similar, I won't say they made the same type of money as David Ortiz in his career, but they're in the same department in terms of their means, right? That's all. What's the link there? I think that's a fair question. What's the link? And why is it that this person who was accused of having put the hit on David Ortiz Why is he linked to other former major league players in the Dominican? Why and how? And is there any other connection to Ortiz? David Ortiz's career earnings.
I mean, we've done more
close to $160 million. Okay, so he's made significantly more money than these other two individuals. But combined, those two other guys made nearly $100 million.
It's crazy. Playing baseball. We would do more investigative reporting or digging for the Balco story or some sort of steroid ring or, you know, why are you hiding your mistaken identity here or a different identity? And you would dig up more stuff as opposed to a guy that actually attempted murder on somebody. And these type of tie-ins. It's almost like two textbook of putting the puzzle together to where, boy, this is an easy case to crack. It seems like it. Like, could you imagine getting your best investigative team, whether from D.C. or from Boston, you name it, and say, we're going to Dominican, we're finding out what the hell is going on, what happened. Can't do that, obviously, right? But to your point, I mean, and Hardy, I mean, people have covered wars.
Oh yeah,
Ground Zero. I mean, you put on bomb flak jackets. You go, you fly with the military. You cover. You go in danger zones. He's worried about somebody just probably being dismembered and sent back in a body bag. Who knows?
This reporter
cover it?
This reporter named Danny Gold,
yeah,
who's a documentary producer and the correspondent and all this, he's already been in touch with the abuser. He tried to track him down. He tried to talk to him. You know how he finally got to him?
How to get to him?
DM on Instagram.
Shut up.
To which he responded. He spent a considerable amount of time in the Dominican searching for the reasoning behind the shooting of David Ortiz. So he tried to get to this guy. Finally, DM on Instagram.
Slipped into his DM.
He responded. Wouldn't provide any insight into whether or not he was the one that had ordered the attack on Ortiz. All he would tell Gold is that, I do not have any problems. Everything has already been cleared up. And then according to multiple...
Nothing to see here. Hey.
All good.
According to multiple reports, all one clear. Of the factors that tie the cases together, the Ortiz, the abuser, these guys, is the fact that Caesar lived in the Naco Blue Tower, which is an apartment building.
Yeah.
Also features an apartment owned by David Ortiz.
Oh, interesting.
Now, maybe there's only one big place on the island where, you know, people are meeting with.
Small,
I don't know.
Small city, buddy. It's only one place everybody goes.
There's something there that I think deserves some more attention.
Oh, you think?
Yeah, we'll talk more about this. More about this possible link in this story, which is getting no attention today, it feels. And why is there no line being drawn between these two things? We'll talk more about that with your calls. Open line, 617-779-0985. We'll get back to your calls after the action update. Here it is. I don't think there are three words in sports that get more people excited about what is yet to come.
Zolak and Bertrand.
I think there's issues with testosterone.
98.5 The Sports Hub.
I think what it comes down to is that we all like David Ortiz. We like him quite a bit.
Ortiz?
Love the guy. He's a sports hero in this town.
Not only that, I think a musical genius. He and Gronkowski with the Dunkin' Donuts solo cup song.
Okay. That's all right. And I think people want to look the other way. You know? It's more convenient to just leave it alone. That's what it is. And not know what the hell happened.
It'd be a major problem for the Red Sox.
Yeah, I don't think they want to know. I don't think they want to know.
Do you know, like, remember when Virginia Tech, when the Michael, I'm not comparing it to, okay? But, like, Virginia Tech really distanced themselves from Michael Vick when the dogfighting stuff all came down with the charges and all that. And when he ended up going to prison. You go over the top one way to credit the player like they have. And why wouldn't you? Because he has. He's meant everything to Boston, to the Red Sox. You dig enough, you find stuff. And if something would pop up against him, they'd be in a that would put the team in a tough spot. It really would.
Anthony's in Quincy. Anthony.
Hey. Hey, good afternoon. I just your topic reminded me first thing of when the Red Sox sort of surprised us by releasing Hanley Ramirez once upon a time, like a day before he was tied to a fentanyl guy or a raid on the highway. And we've heard very little from Hanley, who was, you know, another Dominican player that made big contract money and called David Ortiz like his brother. I just feel like that was another instance where the Red Sox sort of dropped the hot potato so they wouldn't be affiliated.
Yeah, I actually don't think that his release had anything to do with that in the end. I think they just wanted to not pay him.
Yeah.
They do. Nothing ever came of that, by the way. So the guy gets pulled over. He FaceTimes Hanley from the side of the road while he's being pulled over by the state police. Nothing ever came of it, right?
Yeah.
I don't know what that means.
Doesn't mean anything.
What does that mean?
Nothing.
He knew a guy who knew Hanley Ramirez.
Yeah.
That's what it came down to. I don't have any reason to believe Hanley's involved with this. No idea.
Nope.
No, I have no reason to tie it. I do have reason to tie this story today about
the amount of money
Octavio Dotel and Luis Castillo to whatever happened with David Ortiz, considering the same guy who is accused of putting out a hit on David Ortiz is tied to this story of money laundering.
Now listen to
with two form with comment. Two former wealthy major league players.
Here's what I'd do.
That's a funny coincidence.
Here's what I'd do if you were the investigative reporter. I'd get to the women involved. I could see them talking. Or who's this the rap artist that they were involved with, right, that he was sitting with at the time?
I think he was a DJ, like, wasn't he?
Yeah, or whatever he was. I mean, it's,
or a rapper.
You're going to get more out of them. Than
I think there was a DJ and a rapper. With
they're a DJ Caesar. And a rap
yeah.
artist.
Then you're going to get more out of them or people they know than flat out going to Caesar in his DM and say, hey, we took care of it. Nothing to see here. Everything's fine.
All set.
All set, Chief.
Don't you worry.
Yep.
All good.
All good here.
I don't know if anybody.
I did that then.
Took care of it all.
And I don't know if anyone spent any real time on this. I know I didn't when this story came out on SI several weeks ago. But again, it's this Danny Gold guy. And he got sent there to try and uncover something about this case. And in his column on SI.com, he said, I spent 10 days in late June traveling throughout the country looking for answers. To put it bluntly, I did not crack the case. But I did find something fascinating. Nearly every person I spoke with, from high-ranking newspaper editors to corner drug dealers, expressed a deep skepticism that anyone would or even could definitively solve the riddle of why Ortiz was shot. Whatever story the government produced, who would believe it? So, out of all the things that he found out, the main thing and the start of his column is, everyone I talked to doesn't believe so far and wouldn't believe whatever the government told them. So what do we know about it so far in terms of an answer as to why Ortiz was shot? It's from what the government has told us, what the Dominican government has said.
True.
And he said from the outset, he said the one thing that ran throughout is everybody would be skeptical of anything that they said.
So it could be also including that El Abusador. Cesar,
that's so funny. That's so funny when you say El Abusador. I think of like some matador, like this big cape. Here comes this drug guy running. Oh, whoa, run through there.
Cesar the Abuser. Cesar el Abusador.
Cesar. Play it again, Jim, one more time.
Cesar the Abuser. Cesar el Abusador.
Cesar the Abuser.
Through intermediaries, yeah. I'm told Caesar is unwilling to talk. On my second to last night in the Dominican Republic, I send a message to an Instagram account believed to be his, telling him I want to hear his side of the story. He greets me politely, but only offers a brusque answer. I do not have any problems. Everything has already been cleared.
Everything's been taken care of, boss. I don't have any problems.
We're good.
I don't know who told you anything about problems, but we don't have any of those.
If someone did tell you about problems, why don't you give me their names?
Arnie, can you find an Instagram account for him? Maybe we can send a message along.
Slide in. I'm not. No. You know what, pal? I'd have nothing to do with this on record. You want to slide in that dude's DM? You slide in that dude's DM. Zoe, not slide in DMs. Nope.
No?
No.
Why?
Nope.
You don't want to know the abuser?
I know nothing.
You don't want to let the abuser know that
I'm with the Globe on this.
What does that mean? You're with the Globe? You want to
touching this one? Zoe
wants,
I don't know.
Zoe wants to ignore it like
nope.
The Globe.
Yep. All good. Nothing to see here. What did he say, Hardy? All set. Taken care of. Zoe, all set.
Zoe's all
Beetle,
set.
Still questioning.
Zoe wants to ignore the story, much like the Globe.
Don't you tag my name in ADM.
Okay. All right.
No one's shut up my house. Hey.
Cesar, the abuser. Yeah. Cesar, the abuser.
Oh, thank you.
El Abusador. On Instagram at El Abusador.
El Abusador.
I wonder what his pictures are. What does he post pictures of?
Where's your avatar being?
On Instagram.
Yeah. Pretty well.
At the abusive _ _1.
Number. The original was taken. He had a one.
Yeah. Well, the abusive one.
Yeah.
The abusive one. 617-779-0985. The other baseball matter today is that Chris Sale vehemently denies. Okay, maybe that's a little too strong.
I think that's a stretch.
Maybe that's a little too strong. But he denies that he's got a tear in his elbow. Do you believe him? I think Zoe has his doubts. I think Hardy has his doubts about whether or not there's a tear in the arm of Chris Sale. He said there's no tear. He answered the question twice. You will hear from Chris Sale. I'm taking Chris Sale at his word.
And I say, good job, Dan Shaughnessy, with the follow-up, because I think he smelled the same thing I smelled.
There's some people.
Oh, I found his Instagram handle.
No, you didn't.
Yeah, I did.
I don't know. I don't want anything to do with this.
What is it?
The one reported by Danny Gold. It's Cesar _ Emilio _ Peralta 30.
That's a lot.
So no abusive one.
What kind of pictures are on there?
What kind of pics does he have?
I haven't pulled it up
yet.
Why don't
you pull it up from your personal computer?
I'm investigating the investigator right now.
Send him a note. Hardy has headlines. Chris Sale, hear him speak on the other side.
Without Zolak and Bertrand, your workday is just pushing papers and eating lunch.
What's up?
With Zolak and Bertrand, it's pushing papers, eating lunch, and talking sports.
Yeah, whatever.
Way better. Zolak and Bertrand, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Beetle, I got something important.
Okay.
We got a tweet from Jeff who said Zoe and I should get a commission. Apparently, he just went to the store and picked up a pack of Hostess snack size fruit pies. 100 calories per pie, Zoe, because I know from recent experience, if you get a craving for a Hostess fruit pie, you know what the calories are on one apple or fruit pie? Talking about four bills, about 400 calories.
Oh, God,
you're sucking down there.
I'm not eating that pie now.
That's a bit. And
there's dietetic.
I shouldn't say neither will I, because I probably still will at some point. But I thought twice about it before I sucked down that cherry. Would you eat a 100 calorie snack size fruit pie?
Yeah, I probably would.
I'd probably eat two of them.
How long till
pack of 12, Zoe?
How long till
I got a picture of it that
us.
Jeff sent us.
We get any charcuterie emails in there from yesterday?
We have.
I
bought some charcuterie items.
Can I tell you who makes a remarkably similar fruit pie to the
Hostess? Hostess tabletop. I like tabletop.
If you're going to start talking about Dolly Madison or something, I ain't listening.
But no. I wouldn't do.
No. Entenmann's has started to make.
Entenmann's has really good.
Entenmann's is fine. I started to
make them, and they're individual in their little squares. So you can have one, but they're not huge.
I want round pie.
They're square.
I don't want square pie. That's just like, what are you doing with a square pie?
The Hostess ones aren't necessarily round.
No, they're
flat
pockets.
On one edge.
They're turnover size.
Yeah.
They're more like
they're a real
calzone shape.
Right. You know what I wouldn't do, though, is get the table talk for...
Enemans Minis, they're called.
Mm-hmm.
Mini pies.
I wouldn't do the table talk for, like, Thanksgiving. Like, you need to step it up and go to a, like, the Big Apple and rent them. Like, you need to go to a specialty Apple store or pie store.
And
or bakery. You know, I mean, that's coming out cheap.
I feel you're blowing past the most important development here. Snack-size Hostess fruit pies.
But how big is a snack? Is it as big as a table talk?
I don't know, but if you like just have a craving and you want a couple of bites...
Did he send a picture?
You get the snack size. He sent a picture of the box.
Let me see a picture of the box.
Well, it's enlarged to show details, so I don't know...
These are the same as the Enemans ones. They're square. They're the same things. So we're on the same
page.
These
aren't square. These are mini Hostess fruit pies.
Look at them. They're square.
Square. Do you know what a square is?
Yeah.
Equal sides, equal length sides. This looks a little longer. It's rectangular.
Do you know what that looks like? It looks like a freaking ravioli. And I don't want to eat a ravioli pie.
Right.
I don't want that.
All right, you know what?
You know what that looks like? Fig Newton.
Okay.
You ever eat a Fig Newton?
Okay, yes.
I think these are more along the lines of a Fig Newton.
Okay, here's what's going to happen. I'm going to find the Hostess snack size fruit pies.
Yeah.
I'm going to buy a 12-pack of cherry for myself.
And I'll bring a table talk.
And I'm going to leave the apples sitting there because you don't want them. And I won't buy them.
I'm not going to reach for it. But I mean, I'll take a table talk.
If I brought a 12 pack,
what do you want the table talk one for? So
because it's cute, it's little, and it's in a box. They got their own little
it's
nice box.
Remind him of when he used to pick up a couple.
Yeah, it makes you like a fit. Takes you back.
It's a nostalgia thing.
Yes, so. Yeah. Thank you. It takes you back.
This takes me back. You know, my mother.
Can I hear Jerry Jones talking about pie? We need Jerry Jones on this.
This is what brought us on.
My mother is in town right now.
Yeah.
It's one of my earliest childhood memories. We would go to the movies, right? Well, my sister was already at school, and I wasn't old enough to go to school. And a couple of times we went to the movies, and we stopped by the Hostess Factory Outlet near the movie theater because my mother, frugal, went, we're not going to buy movie theater snacks. We're going to get a couple of Hostess items to take in there. I could get my own fruit pie to eat while watching the Bugs Bunny feature length film. That's nostalgia.
I do that, too, and it pisses me
off.
That's
nostalgia.
I hate when kids want the popcorn there because it's like $10 a bucket.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I bring all the candy in. But I tell you what, they've lowered the price on the Icy's. If you go to some of the ones with the movie theaters that lay you back, all you want
is shopping Icy prices,
the
like gas
stuff.
Prices
yes.
around town?
The Icy's, and the automated
Scott Zolak, whose celebrity net worth has pegged at $10 million.
The automated machines, you can have
there,
as much.
It's out there jotting notes down.
My kid has six Icy's, and it's self-serve Icy's. And you can just go and refill it. We just get one, and we just keep refilling.
We want to go see the new Toy Story.
No, it's the expensive Icy Theater. We're going to Secret Life of Pets, too. They got cheaper Icy's. Let's go. Get your brother.
There's still enough pie left to get all them done.
Absolutely. Yes. Very confident.
The reason there is pie left is because we have kept there some left. That's why there's pie left. And that's why we're going to be where we are, because we want to have some pie left for others.
For others.
You pushed us off track with your pie talk, Arnie.
Pie isn't pie.
Chris Sale.
If you eat it all yourself.
There is less pie left. Make no bones about it.
Pie. There is
less pie.
You're Jerry Jones morphs into your Jim Irsay, sort of. It's you're starting
someone
to
blend. Else said, a little George W. Bush.
You need more of a southern twang with Jerry. Yeah. Southern
it's actually
drawl.
James Brolin
I
as
bet.
George W. Bush.
It's like molasses that comes off your tongue. It's like Savannah.
Texas, Georgia, whatever.
Okay. Ooh. Now, Chris Sale had this to say yesterday when asked about his recent visit to Dr. James Andrews and his treatment with the injection, because as he says, as you will hear in this clip, he does not have a tear of his UCL.
You know, we're so quick to go down there and get his opinion because you know, he can do this blindfolded. So, you know, he checked it out and got some better news, obviously not great news, but about as good as news we could get. So, you know, we rest maybe 4 to 6 weeks, get on a throwing program and get back to it.
Would you give it any assurance that there's no damage to the UCL?
Yeah, so there were, like I said, there's inflammation. We got around the PRP. Never done that before, so that was kind of an interesting process too. Like I said, we got a few dead days here for the next couple days, and then get back on some shoulder strengthening, some forearm strengthening, and start getting ready for a throwing program.
You can say with certainty that there's no tear in there?
Yeah. Like I said, we had some information where, like I said, got around the PRP and we roll.
He sounds like he says inflammation in the first answer, and when Shaughnessy asks it again with the follow-up, same question, sounds like information.
Well, they got both. They got information and inflammation, and when he asked him, so you can you were assured that there's no tear there? He said, yeah.
Yeah.
If you still want to believe in your heart of hearts that he's lying, fine. But nothing that he said is indicative of a lie. He was asked. He answered.
Right.
If anything, it sounds like maybe he's holding back a tiny little bit, not going to spill everything. He's not going to talk about everything that they found. Does there exist the possibility of a tear that has not been detected? Sure. With everybody, I guess. Why not? He just, look, for down the road,
sounds like
if
some
6 weeks from now.
I'm wishful thinking.
Right. Yeah. But if 6 weeks from now, when they start bringing him back and it's shoulder strength and it's and a throwing program, if it does turn out, you know what, there is a tear and I am going to need Tommy John, he doesn't want a bunch of a-holes like us coming back and saying liar. So he left just enough.
I don't know if he has Tommy John, I don't know how you don't come back and say, well, he didn't tell the truth.
Well, then the doctor didn't tell the truth, or they didn't know, or they didn't spot it the first time. No, nobody would wish for this. Here's the other thing. What is to be gained by lying about this? What is to be gained if he needs Tommy John? What is to be gained by waiting 6 more weeks?
You avoid public perception.
The public criticism of the fact that he just signed a $145 million deal.
By being six more weeks removed from the signing?
It's like a guy's arm falling off, basically.
Well, no, because what if he does avoid having Tommy John?
If he avoids it altogether, that's great, but I'm only going to feel good about it if he never gets shut down again throughout the rest of his Red Sox career.
But what if he never has Tommy John? What if he is David Price? What if he is one of these guys that does not need Tommy John and never does go for it?
What if he's post-Tanaka?
That'd be something.
After
right,
Tanaka,
what if he does get right? I mean, there are guys.
Yeah, but Tanaka's not the same pitcher he was prior to him having his elbow issues.
What if he can't get right? What if he needs to get right
pills?
Okay,
but what if he does? What if there is no tear? What if it just is inflammation?
I'm just tired of handling this guy with kid gloves.
The guy was able to, you know, throw with velocity at points this year. It wasn't like that disappeared. There's obviously something wrong with him, right?
I think you want to know that there's something wrong with him to feel better about the disappointing results that he's getting.
Right. You'd feel better if there was some sort of definitive explanation
for him to be hurt. Don't get this wrong. I'm not wishing for him to be hurt. But you just want something definitive to say, this is the reason this guy isn't the guy we thought he was. And they can't do that right now. And that's the frustrating part.
617-779-0985. We're in Foxborough today at Gillette Stadium. We got open phone lines for you if you'd like to grab one. We've got plenty more to get to today. Your calls on Chris Sale. Your calls on the latest development, I think, in the David Ortiz case. Because it involves someone in the David Ortiz case. The guy is accused of putting out the hit on him. And also a news story that says Massachusetts is not friendly.
Oh, I agree.
Details on that next.
Zolak and Bertrand continues on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
You've got a friend in me. When the road looks rough ahead in your mind.
What the hell are you playing this for?
I don't know. Something to do with being friends.
Seems like Loth is irritated today.
Calvin got a bunch of Toy Story toys for his birthday. Little Toy Story, you know, posable figures from the new one.
Yeah, my kid got those when he was 4.
Yeah, well, he's younger than your kid.
Yeah, by a year.
All right, well, he's imaginative play.
We know what his kid, if he asked for the toys, I
could take him out onto a football field and scream at him.
Call him
to
names.
Engage in a practice for a sport he doesn't want to play, but he's going to whether he wants to or not.
Damn right
I could do that. Yep. How's it going so far? Is he excited to go to practice? Does he enjoy it?
Yes, he does.
How's it hitting?
No, he does not.
Is he hitting
he absolutely
everybody
does not.
Is he hitting everybody yet?
Does he enjoy getting yelled at by his father? Does he like that?
We're good talks. He likes going to companies after it.
He likes going out for ice cream when he's done.
Yeah.
According to a new list from a travel website, Big Seven.
Good job, Big Seven here.
Big Seven.
Good job.
Big Seven. Big Seven Travel. They've ranked the 50th, I like how they liked how they named this, the 50 friendliest states in America. Well, hey, dumbasses, there's only 50 states, so you've ranked all of them.
It's an odd title.
You know, that's like saying the three friendliest hosts on Zolak and Bertrand. Well, Right. Wait a minute. Hold on. There's only three of us here.
That'd be a good debate. We should rank ourselves in terms of friendliest.
Oh, that's easy. I finish last.
Okay. All right.
Zoe, Hardy, Beetle, 1, 2, 3, done.
Yeah.
We did it.
Yeah.
Done. Well, let's do that. Done. We just did it. It's easy.
Yeah.
Done. Okay. Massachusetts finishes 47th out of 50 states on the list.
They nailed it.
Nailed it?
Yep. Okay, so I spent 2 days in Tennessee last
week. Nailed it?
Spent 2 days in Tennessee last week.
Do you know what my first question was, Zoe? Who the hell did we lose to?
Right. That's a good point. Probably, I'd say New York.
New York.
How the hell did we lose?
New York, New Jersey.
Yep.
Unfriendly state.
New York finished number 50, which in my book is numero uno.
Okay.
Right.
Way to go, New York.
Yep.
Way to strive. Way to win.
Okay. So New York is 50 and Massachusetts 47.
There's New Jersey. These two states came out of nowhere, by the way. And I don't know what the.
North Dakota.
No.
South Dakota.
No. New Jersey finished 46th.
All right. So.
Well, who are they?
We beat New Jersey. Okay.
Give us a region of the country.
Northeast for 48.
Ohio.
48 is in the Northeast. It's a smaller state.
Delaware.
Delaware.
What?
Delaware finished 48. Here's their description.
I spent time in Delaware.
Ready? Delaware might be small. You can drive across the entire state in just 90 minutes, but that doesn't exactly translate as neighborly.
Yeah. You know what the problem is? It's right next to Philly.
Is it Delaware's reputation as boring that makes our readers think of it as unfriendly?
It's Philadelphia's fault.
Unfortunately, it's ranked as one of the least friendly states in America.
All right.
Why? I've been to Delaware.
Philly. Because you fly into Philly and you drive a half hour and you're in Delaware.
There's not much going on there.
Yeah. Dewey Beach, Delaware. I've been there.
I spent a night in Wilmington once.
Mm. What about Idaho?
What are you going to do out there? All you do is grow potatoes.
Let's get to 49. Arkansas.
What's unfriendly about Arkansas?
It says Arkansas is a friendly state if, and the emphasis on if.
If you're from the South.
You're a local.
Yeah. If you're from down there. We don't like you Yankees.
It says while that's all well and good for Arkansas residents and their good neighborly vibes, it can mean that visitors might feel like they don't quite fit in and are unwelcome. So that I sort of respect. You know, very provincial. We've got that same thing that we've got here. Right?
Okay.
We've got some of that happening here for sure.
All right. So that's 50, 49, 48. What does it say about Massachusetts and our lack of friendliness?
It says about us that Massachusetts locals aren't exactly rude per se.
They're masshole.
But the overall...
Alma said it. Sorry.
You can say masshole.
You can say massholes?
Yeah, we've said it.
Masshole.
We've said it many times. But the overall indifference towards strangers can take its toll. Ignoring people isn't exactly a trait that will put Massachusetts among the friendliest states in America. It also takes a long time to be accepted as a true Bostonian, not just a blow-in.
That's true. People still break my balls. I've been here for 30 years. You're not from here. You don't get it. I'm like, I've lived longer here than where I grew up in Pennsylvania. Yeah.
Oh yeah,
I've lived longer here.
Yeah,
yeah,
that's true. I lived longer within the city limits of Boston than most people who claim to be Bostonians ever have. Some of them never lived in Boston, but they're like, "You don't know Boston." I said, actually, I know Boston like the back of my ass.
I'd take you
all over.
You couldn't have had a worse Friday than I had, like at that Delta Terminal with the rude people.
Here we go again,
dropping me off. So we land, then we get to the hotel. People are overly nice. How you doing, sir? Welcome to Tennessee. It's good to have you here in Nashville. What can we do to make you stay much more? I'm like, wow, that's nice. Then we get to the stadium. And it's a blueprint. It's
Tennessee left. Finished number two on the list,
okay.
By the way. Second friendliest state.
Oh, they should.
Guess who number one was? Minnesota.
Our whole elevator. All beat reporters.
Very friendly.
Friendly as all hell out
there. All beat reporters. We're in the elevator. It's a blueprint at Gillette. Same setup. You know, we're going to be like, look at this. Get on the elevator. Hey, which floor would you like to go to? Let me expedite your service there. You guys having a nice day? Welcome to that. I'm like, you are the nicest person. Because this is the way we are.
We said that about Minnesota when we were there. We said the people here
Everybody on the elevator.
People here are so nice.
We
but
live
the
in a state full of a-holes. We now, do.
Is it like Gillette in that it has like one usable elevator?
Yes.
Same thing?
Same blueprint. Scary. When's the last time?
What? Why are we waiting so long? There's the one elevator that everybody takes.
That's the one elevator that's used for food services, media, owners,
yeah.
Executives,
dignitaries, the president.
And
we all got around
the
same
opens,
elevator.
Everybody's eyes roll. Oh, what are you all doing on the elevator? And they turn their back. When's the last time you let somebody in?
Elevators on express. Oh, like that means anything.
You know what my drive's like every day into work? And you know what we do when I merge? Because I get off at Randolph, the Lombardo's exit there with the sweet little place there. So you're merging. And I let people in because that's not every time they make eye contact and nobody acknowledges it. Nobody can't even give me a wave. Can't give me a wave. I let you in traffic. You know what I do after that?
Is it a merge or not?
It's kind of a merge.
But I have to acknowledge
but
a
there
merge.
Are some people that don't let you merge. Like, they'll just look straight ahead.
That means they're being, that's wrong.
It's just, if alternate.
You merge, there's no need to thank anyone for doing the right thing.
Or you get to a red light. Or you get to a four-way stop sign. And you know what? Come on. You go first. They go. They had turns and I let them
go. Well, whoever got there first goes right away.
Let's say I was there first. Sometimes I get there first and I let them go first.
That's the person to the right.
And you know what they do? They just go.
To the right.
And then they take the cigarette and throw it out the window. We live in, I think, one of the rudest states.
Okay, well, this is the point.
People here suck.
I thought, who did we let beat us? How did this happen?
Arkansas, New York.
Delaware and Arkansas? Listen, New York, they've got strength in numbers, okay?
Delaware even
we can't match their numbers. We just can't. But Arkansas, we can't beat Arkansas.
You're saying do better.
We can't beat Delaware.
Delaware.
We got to be 49th on this list next year.
I'm in Delaware. We suck here. We do.
Got to be better than this.
People in Boston, downtown in traffic, you're miserable. You are miserable people.
Friendly.
This is why.
Friendly's overrated.
This is why I never ride.
Let me just tell you this. Being friendly, overrated.
It's like when we go back to Nebraska now to visit Blondie's family and the people at the rental car desk. They're like, so great. What brings you to Omaha? What are you doing here? Mind your own damn business. What are you talking? Oh.
Sorry.
I forgot. Well, you know, we're just here for a visit, and, you know, she used to live here, and it doesn't take long to, like, what's your angle? The hell are you? What are you asking for? Shut up. Oh, sorry. Forgot we're back where people are actually.
Yeah.
Nice.
Right.
Nice people.
I went to this
Minnesota.
Restaurant.
We were all in Minnesota for a week. How were the people there?
Very nice.
Lovely.
Lovely people.
Great
lovely.
People
I didn't know how to deal with it.
You know what their
as
angle
you
is?
Remember, I had a hard time dealing with that. But hi, how are you? Good morning. I'm like,
how are you? What's it to you?
Right.
What? You're talking to me? Like, you look at them straight. What?
I went to this restaurant.
Look around. Like, who are they talking to?
I went to this restaurant down the street on Sunday.